Thank you very much, but I really don't know what to say at this point. Everybody has said what needs to be said, and I really sat there wanting the sky to cave in. It refused to cave in, and I'm here. So I have to find something to say, and I do have something to say about Judith, because I did work with her. And in fact, why I am here today is because I worked with her, because she reached out to me and because she invited me into a strange place where I wouldn't have come on my own. Judith represents that spirit for me, and I really feel her presence at this point in this house, in this hall, in all of us, in whatever everybody spoke. Judith is not tied to a body somewhere, tied to a specific geographic place. At this point, she's everywhere. She's a spirit that's moving us, that's talking through most of us, that brought us all together. Judith is really breaking that mind and body dichotomy. She's everywhere. She's not a body. But whenever I think of her, I think of her in a body. She comes right here. I see her. Her presence is very, very, she's full. This room is full of Judith at this point, and Judith is a body. She's not just a spirit. So there's really the discourse that we have been hearing all day today talks of her. It's her discourse. She's taking part in that. And when I was invited, I said, what a wonderful way of inviting Judith back among us, to converse with us, to dialogue with us. So she's very, very much present here. And my eyes water when I think of her. And I want to see her as not a past, because she also breaks down that past and present dichotomy. She's very much in the present. She is very much here. And she will continue into the future through our works, through our talks, through our dialogue, through our disruptions of the meta-narratives that she had started to do, you know, creating little spaces for transformation, for people like me to come in and participate. I very much appreciate that space, because I too was a voice of dissent in another life, somewhere else. I didn't have anything to say when I was sitting there, because I felt I was a complete outsider to museum and galleries and exhibitions. I had nothing to say, but as we have heard all day, no one can be a complete stranger or a complete insider or a complete outsider. So there is that space for me from which I can speak about Judith and about museums, about exhibitions. Even the words don't come to mind. Even the words are strange to me, but I can't be complete a stranger. I would be very brief. I know people had a very long day today. I had a long day too. I would be very brief, but I would like to talk a little bit about my own encounter with art, that kind of constitutes our topic for today, for this panel. When I say my encounter with art, I don't mean art in the abstract. I mean art in a specific location, very unique, specific art located, positioned in a space, time, and culture, European art, I think. And when I say European art is not pure European either. I don't think it is, because ideas migrate too, just like people. People have gone out into Africa, into the world, Europeans have gone out in rebellion, actually, I think. That's how it all started. The avant-garde, earlier in the morning, people were talking about how the avant-garde started. People went out into the world, brought in ideas, and started the museums and exhibitions. So ideas do migrate, so I do find myself in European art too. I'm not a complete stranger again there too. But what Judith did was, I passed by Art Gallery of Ontario 100 times a day, but I never stepped inside. I had no idea what the inside looked like. Perhaps when I came to Canada in 1991, so those very first few weeks, people would take you to the very good places, that places that need to be seen by a stranger, by newcomers. I may have come, but I have no recollection of what the inside of Art Gallery of Ontario looked like. What Judith did was reach out to people like me and bring us in and help us see the inside and make sense of what it is to us. What meaning does it make? What meaning we can make from it. So I was one of the six exiled writers who came in upon Judith's invitation. I asked, I don't know this place, it's very strange. What am I going to do? I'm not an artist. It's okay. You don't have to be an artist, but just she gave us this pass for a year, so we can go into the art gallery, see whatever we want, and write a tiny piece about the program, about individual pieces, whatever it is. Just write a tiny piece of what it means to you. Choose a program, choose an individual project, whatever. Just anything, anything. All right. I want this to be open. I want to leave this as open as possible. So she didn't want to structure us into small boxes. She just left it open. So I went. It's like walking in a strange land. I tried to. What do I write? I have no idea what to write about. I went, I looked at this, I looked at that, I went to this program, to that exhibition. What do I write? But then I came to this in the contemporary, I think, section. I came and faced a woman that was exactly like me. I thought I found myself. All right, there was this bust of a woman, a black woman, among many others. It said, oh yeah, this is what I'm going to write about. I looked at her, and the title was, it's a sculpture. The sculptor had a name, but the object, the subject had a name, but the object didn't have a name. The title was Head of the Negress. Head of a Negress? Okay. And name meant a lot to me, and I could have died for my name back there where I came from. And why wouldn't she have a name? But then I said, oh my God, it's not her place. And I began to see this woman standing there, not belonging in this place at all. I didn't feel she belonged. I didn't feel she even had a name. I didn't feel she... I felt she was cold, and I was shivering myself standing there. That object wasn't an object. It's like a self. It's like myself. It's a self estranged from me, going there, looking back at me. It's a strange feeling. It's a very strange feeling. I went home very disturbed, but I didn't know what disturbed me. I really didn't know. I went home. I came again a week later, 2 weeks later, and I began to feel ashamed. I said, okay, there's somebody like me here. I felt some kind of pride. I'm proud, oh yes. But then at the same time, I felt ashamed too. No, there's something wrong. I felt this mixture of pride and shame at the same time. And there's something that disturbs me about this. I don't know what it is. And it's this sense of being between strangeness and familiarity. It's totally strange. I don't know this woman. But she's also very familiar because she's so like me. And I felt, oh my God, is this going to be my fate here too? Am I going to lose my name, my identity too? And that's where I wrote that poem, the space in between. That wasn't really an object. I wasn't, it was like I was the original and that was a copy. It wasn't that kind of a thing. I was that and that was me. And I wasn't just the viewer. I was also the object itself. So there was this resonance and dissonance, simultaneous subject and object kind of relationship with that head of a negress. That was, and I was afraid to write about it. There was this feeling, but I said, I'm not going to write it. It's going to offend people. I'm not going to write about it. I better keep silent. But then the rebellious self in me said, get it out, write about it, get it out. And then I wrote that piece. And Judith was very, very happy, I felt. So that gave me courage. I didn't think she would be that happy because I thought she was just like other friends who want to be told only the good things and that she was doing great. I shouldn't point out to the I shouldn't disrupt the meta-narrative kind of, but she was disrupting it herself, and she welcomed that disruption to continue that disruption. So that really gave me courage, not just in the arts, but in other parts of my life too. So she really had a very profound effect on me. Sorry for taking so long, but coming back to the panel, our panel, I really didn't have a question, but what has been my concern from earlier on, from earlier in the morning, the first two panels and this panel, was I was very happy that people could talk about these things. Am I in Canada? Really? It's totally a different discourse that I was. It's a subversive place. It's a very comforting space for me, where the grand narratives are disrupted, not just by individual panelists, but from people in the audience, like-minded people coming together to disrupt and continue the disruption that Judith had started. It gave me a lot of energy, a lot of positive energy, but I kept worrying about people being very well versed in these discursive practices, But how are we going to make it? It's okay. The discursive part is very, very okay. We have talked about it. I mean, the rhetoric part is okay. We've talked about it. But how can we make it into a way of being, a way of life? That has been my concern. Yes, whenever somebody says something, yes, that's what I want to say. Yes, that's what I want to say. But how do we make it a way of life, really? I had a strange feeling earlier when I came here in the morning at the reception place where we were having breakfast or coffee or what you call it, I don't know. I came in, I didn't know anybody. It's only Joyce that I knew. Joyce kindly invited me into this the panel. I didn't know anybody else. I went around, I didn't know where to sit. I was looking around, no familiar face at all. I just hoped against hope somebody would come sit here, please tell me, come sit here, please. I wanted to beg people. I was begging with my eyes, but nobody, people were engaged in talking. I was happy for them, but I sat alone and looked at people, very animated, discussing, and very good issues too. Issues like we're discussing here. But I felt so alone when everybody else was talking. And I said, please, please, somebody say something, come to me. I don't have to come to you. You come to me too. Judith did that. I didn't come to her. She reached out. Reaching out, of course, has its so many meanings. I mean, you can reach out, like people talked about earlier. It could be for appropriation, for cannibalism, for whatever. But reaching out for dialogue, for negotiation of meanings, was what I was looking for. I didn't get that, and I was so disappointed. But when I came in here, I all that disappointment was gone. I was so happy people would talk about all these issues. Even raising the issues themselves were very, very important for me. But that was my, when we talked about reaching out, when we talked about disrupting the institutional practices, how do we make it a way of life? But we talked about power earlier. Power is very, very seductive. We have to be a part of the system in order to work against the system. How do we be a part of those institutions, like Judith was, and still work against those institutions in order to disrupt, in order to create spaces of transformation? Thank you so much.
I think we really should cut it. I see the Harborfront people looking at me. But I will ask, it's 20 past, and I think we'll go till 6:30. We'll just take a couple of questions if there are some, and if you prefer, we'll cut it now. But just let me ask if there are any urgent questions that people would like to ask at this moment. I think that might be my phone. Okay, I hear the answer. Did I see? Sunil, did you have a question? No, that's okay. That's okay. All right.
Thank you. 1,000 Muslims were slaughtered. We are sitting here quietly. The Indian government is completely implicated. The Prime Minister is doing nothing. Our Prime Minister in Ottawa is saying absolutely nothing. He should be condemning the Indian Prime Minister for sitting quietly by. There's a program underway. This has not happened overnight. There's been years of preparation, planning, and so on. There's a cultural war going on. It's being fought on this continent as well. The money's coming from this continent to subsidize it. And when I see such simplistic imagery around those concepts, it really upsets me.
Ray, you want to respond? No. Okay. I think that that what you said is obviously a self-evident and gives, I think, resonance to the difficulty of attempting to address these issues within the context of the museum and the capacity of the museum to move into the difficult issues of politics. We've heard it in every talk in one way or another. It is certainly an issue for further discussion. So let me say thank you to all the participants and to thank you all for staying and being so generous with your time. Thank you.